Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing our discussion of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, first we'll chant the verses, and then we have some discussion. So this is Chapter 8, Talk of Brahma Yoga, the Merciful Absolute. And I'm reading the translations of Sri Sridhar Maharaj. If you have different translation, don't worry. Arjuna uvacha, kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam, kim karma purushottama, adibhutancha kim proktam, adidaivam kim uchyate. Arjuna uvacha, kim tad brahma kim adhyatmam, kim karma purushottama, adibhutancha kim proktam, adidaivam kim uchyate. Addi yagya katam kotra dehosmin madhusudana prayana kalecha katam yeyosti niyatatam mabhi abhigya katam kotra dehesmin madhusudana prayana kalecha katam yeyosti niyatatam mabhi. Arjuna inquired, O Supreme Person, what is Brahma, and what is the soul, what is action, and what is the worldly plane, what is the celestial plane? O Madhusudan, within the body, who is the agent of sacrifice, and how is he present? And how are you to be known by the self-controlled at the time of death? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Aksharam Paramam Brahma Svabhavo Jayatmam Uchyate Bhuta Bhava Udbhava Karo Visharga Karma Sangita. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Aksharam Paramam Brahma Svabhava Jayatmam Uchyate Bhuta Bhava Udbhava Karo Visharga Karma Sangita. The Supreme Lord spoke thus. It is said that Brahma is the imperishable absolute, and the soul is the living being's own pure spiritual nature. By action is meant the creative force, or offerings by charity, sacrifice, and austerity, etc., to a demigod, manifesting through the gross and subtle elements, the bodies of the human and other species of life. Adibhutam karo bhava purushas chadidaivatam. Adi yagyo hyamai vatra deha deha britambara Adi bhutam karo bhava purushas chadidaivitam Adi yagyo hyamai vatra deha deha britambara. O Arjun, best of beings, the worldly plane means that which is perishable, such as the body. The celestial plane is the collective universal form which encompasses and governs the demigods, and I am the Lord of Sacrifice, present as the Supersoul within the bodies of all living beings, as the sanctioner and rewarder of their actions, of sacrifices, etc. Antekale chamam eva smaram mukva kalevaram japrajati samadbhavam jatinas chatra sangshaya Antakale chamam eva smaran mukva kalevaram japrayati samadbhavam jatinas jatra sangshaya. One who thinks of me at the time of death attains to my nature on departing this world. Of this there is no doubt. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chajatante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kunteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha yam yam vapi smaram bhavam jajatyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kunteya Sada tad bhava bhavitaha. O son of Kunti, one who has always thought of a particular object will remember it and attain to it after leaving the body. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanushmara yudyacha mayarpita mano buddhir mamne vaishyasya samshaya. Tasman sarveshu kaleshu mamanushmara yudyacha mayarpita mano buddhir mamne vaishyasya samshaya. Therefore, always remembering me, fight, as it is your natural duty. Thus, dedicating your mind and intelligence to me, you will reach me. Of this, there is no doubt. Habhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina paramam parusham divyam jati partanuchintayam. Habhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina paramam parusham divyam jati partanuchintayam. O Partha, the yogi who practices meditation with an undeviating mind, always thinking of the effulgent Supreme Person, reaches him. Kavim Puranam Anushashitaram Anuraniyam Sam Anushmarejaha Sarvasya Dataram Achincharupam Adityavarnam Tamasa Parastat. Kavim Puranam Anushashitam Anuraniyam Sam Anushmarejaha Sarvasya Dataram Achincharupam Adityavarnam Tamasa Parastat. Prayanakale Manasa Chalena Bhaktyukta Yoga Balena Chaiva Bruvo Madhye Pranam Avasya Samyak Satam Param Purusham Apaiti Dibhyam. Prayanakale Manasa Chalena Bhaktyukta Yoga Balena Chaiva Bruvo Madhye Praman Abhayasya Samyak Satam Param Purusham Upaiti Divyam. He, the Supreme Person, who is all-knowing, beginningless, merciful teacher of devotion unto himself, although more subtle than the atom, he is the infinite support of all existence. His form is supramundane, that is, of a human-like feature, yet he is self-illuminating and all-illuminating, like the sun. He is transcendental to illusion. One whose mind is fully focused by strength of yoga practice, who continuously remembers him with devotion, and who, at the time of death, establishes the life force between the eyebrows at the Ajna Chakra with full concentration, thinking of him, reaches the effulgent Supreme Person. Yad aksharam veda vido vedanti vishanti yad yatayo vitaraga yad ichanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padam sangrahena pravakshe. Yad aksharam veda vido vedanti vishanti yad yatayo vitaraga yad ichanto brahmacharyam charanti tate padam sangraheno pravakshaye. Along with the method of attaining it, I shall describe to you that objective which the learned knowers of the Vedas call Om, the imperishable within, which the desireless ascetics enter, and which the devout seekers aspire to reach by practicing the vow of celibacy. Sarva dvarani samyamya manoridi nirujyacha murjan adhyatmana prana astito yoga dharanam. Sarva dvarani samyamya manoridi nirujyacha murjan adhyatmana pranam astito yoga dharanam. Om iti ekaksharam brahma vyaharanamam anushmaram. Yaha prayati tyajan deham sayati paramam gatim. Om iti eksharam brahma Vyaharaman Anushmaran Ya Pratyati Tajan Deham Sajati Paramam Gatim. Controlling all the gateways of the senses, holding the mind steady within the heart, establishing the life force between the eyebrows, and fully absorbing the thoughts in the spiritual self. One who at the time of leaving the body vibrates the monosyllable Om and departs the world in consciousness of me, reaches the transcendental world. Anyateta satatam yo mam smarati nityashaha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. Ananyateta satatam yo mam smarati nityashaha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. O Partha, a person who one-pointedly remembers me, always, in all circumstances, and who in his relationship with me, in servitude, friendship, etc., constantly aspires for my divine association, I am easily reached by such a devotee. Mam upetya punar janma dukkalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmana samsiddhim paramam gata. Mam upetya punar janma dukkalayam ashashvatam apnuvanti mahatmana samsiddhim paramam gata. The great souls who become my associates in my divine pastimes, having reached me, are never again born into transitory existence, which is the abode of suffering. Abrahma bhuvana loka purnavartino arjuna mamupetya tukunteya purnajanmana vidyate. Abrahma bhuvana loka purnavartino jarna mamupetya tukunteya purnajanmana vidyate. O Arjuna, from the plane of Lord Brahma downwards, all planes of their residence are subject to return. But O Kunteya, there is no rebirth after reaching me. Sahasrayuga paryantam ahoryad brahmano vidhu ratrim yuga sahasrantam teho ratra vidojana. Sahasrayuga paryantam Yahayam Brahmano Vidhu Yodhuratra Vidho Janaha. A day of Lord Brahma lasts for 100,000 Chaturjugas, and his night is of the same duration. Persons who know this have the true conception of day and night. One yuga, an age, is in the time calculation of the demigods equals the four yugas, or one Chaturjuga in the time calculation of man, or 4,320,000 years. Quite a long time. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarva pravavantya ahurgame Ratyagame praliyante tatravaya vyakta samgyan yoke avyaktad vyaktaya sarva pravavanche ahargame ratyagame praliyante tatravaya vyakta samgyoke. With the coming of day, the universal progeny with their bodies, senses, enjoyable objects, and abodes are born of Lord Brahma in his waking state, and at nightfall they are again absorbed into Lord Brahma, who is known as the Unmanifest. Bhutva grama sa evyam bhutva bhutva praliyate ratyagame vasa partha prabhavatyaga aharagame bhutva grama sa evyam bhutva bhutva praliyate Ratyagame vasa partha prabhavatya haragame. O Partha, the multitude of beings are helplessly subject to the law of karma, born again and again. With the coming of Lord Brahma's night, they are absorbed, and with the coming of his day, they are again born. parastasmat tu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana yassa sarvesha bhuteshu nasyatsu navinasyati parastasmat tu bhavonyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana yassa sarvesha bhuteshu nasyatsu navinasyati. But superior to this unmanifest Lord Brahma, there is another unmanifest, and that existence is beginningless and transcendental to the perception of all living beings. He is not destroyed when all beings are destroyed. Avyakto karatyauktastam ahu paramam gati yam prapyana nivartante taddharma paramam mama. Avyakto karityauktastam ahu paramam gatim ya prapya nivivartante taddharma paramam mama. He is said to be the unmanifest and the invincible, proclaimed by the Upanishads to be the supreme goal, reaching whom one does not return to this world. Know that destination to be my supreme abode. Purusha sa paraparta bhakti labhyas tvananyaya yasyanta stani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatam. Purusha sa paraparta bhakti labhyas tvananyaya yasyanta stani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatam. O Partha, I, the Supreme Person, within whom all beings are situated, and by whom this whole universe is pervaded, am attainable only by exclusive devotion. Yatra kale tvam avritim, avritim chaiva yogina, prayata yantitam kalam bhakshami bharatarshava. Yatra kale tvam avritim, avritim chaiva yogina, prayata yantitam kalam vakshami Bharatarshava. O Bharatarshava, now I shall describe to you the circumstances in which the yogis attain either liberation or rebirth at the moment of death. Agnijotiraha shukla sangmasa utarayanam tatra prayata gacchanti brahma brahma vidojana. Agnijotiraha shukla sanmasa utarayanam tatra prayata gacchanti brahma brahma vidojanaha. Upon leaving the body, the knowers of Brahma attain Brahma via the path of fire, light, day, the waxing moon and the sun's northern ascent. Dumaratris tata krishna sanmasa dakshinayanam tatcha tandra masam jyotir yogi prapya nivartate. Dumaratris yata krishna sanmasa dakshinayanam tatcha tandra masam jyotir yogi prapya nivartate. Upon leaving the body, the karma yogi reaches the heavenly plains via the path of smoke, night, the waning moon and the sun's southern ascent, but returns to undergo rebirth. Shukla krishne gati ete jagata shashvate mate ekya yatya navritim anyaya vartate punaha. Shukla krishne gati ete jagata shashvate mate ekaya yatya navritim anyaya vartate punaha. These two paths of the world, the bright and the dark, are accepted as being perpetual. By the bright path, liberation is attained, and by the dark path, one is reborn. Naiti sriti parta janam yogi muyati kaschana tasmad sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukta bhavarjuna. Naiti sriti parta janam yogi muyati kaschana tasmad sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukta bhavarjuna. O Partha, the devotee, bhakti yogi, who knows these bright and dark paths, is not deluded. Therefore, O Arjuna, be ever fixed in transcendental exclusive devotion. Vedeshu yogeshu tapashu chaiva daneshu jat punya phalam pradishtam ajeti tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param stanam upaiti chadyam vedeshu yogeshu tapashu chaiva daneshu jat punya phalam pradishtam ajeti tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param stanam upaiti chadyam. Thus knowing of my glories and the glories of devotion to me, the devoted soul, surpassing the scripturally cited fruits of piety achieved by chanting the Vedas and performing sacrifice, austerity and charity, attains my supreme holy abode. Iti Sri Mahabharate Shatashahasrayam Samhittayam Vaishashikyam Bhishma Parvani Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishadsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjun Sambade Taraka Brahma Yoga Namastamo Jayaha. End of the 8th chapter, The Merciful Absolute, from the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjun in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the Yoga Scripture of Transcendental Knowledge, in Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharata, the holy scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses. So Krishna says, in answer to Arjuna's questions, that that which is unchangeable, or the akara, the imperishable absolute reality, is the Parabrahman, or the transcendental form of Shyamasunda, Krishna's eternal form, which was described in the previous chapter. Then he describes the soul, the adhyatma, then karma or action, adibhuta, the worldly plane, and adidaiva, the celestial plane. After describing that, he tells Arjuna, but who remembers me at the time of their death comes to me. Of this there is no doubt. Then Krishna explains, depending on what you meditate on through your life, at the time of death you attain to that. So there are different thoughts on this idea. Some think that it's that what you're thinking at the time of your death, at the moment of your death, that determines where you go at death. And others, especially our acharyas, they say no, it's more about what you've contemplated throughout your life, which is the important thing. So what has become your contemplation? What has become your meditation? What is the object of your thought? That will be what you remember at the time of your death. You know, they say your life flashes before you. And I remember one time many years ago, I was swimming across the Ganges River. And with another devotee, and just as I'm coming to the other side, a black snake came by in the water, a very small black snake, and I remember thinking, oh, maybe it'll bite me and now I'll die. So I was praying, and I'm praying to the Lord, please let me remember your lotus feet. If I'm going to die now, let me remember your lotus feet. I consider it to be the most auspicious in the river Ganges, in Navadvip Dham. What could be more auspicious than to leave this world here? But it's a little bit true, because I remember thinking, as I was trying to fix my mind on the Lord at that time, I remember feeling fear also, afraid of death. and feeling, you know, like a cold sweat, although the water was warm, I was feeling like cold sweat. And no matter what I did, I couldn't stop this one thought coming in my mind. And it was, Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. This was what was coming in my mind. Anyway, the snake went by and it wasn't interested in me at all. And I climbed out the bank on the other side and I was thinking, wow, I wonder if it had bit me and I had died, you know, would I have gone to Krishna or would I have become a cartoon character? I don't know. We see Srila Guru Maharaj has written, quoting in Prapanna Jivanamritam, he quotes Maharaj Kulashekar, one of the Alwars of southern India, very famous. There, a prayer, and Maharaj Kulashekar's prayer is, I can remember you now, but when I die, you know, the time of my death and my life airs will be so much disturbed and going here and there, and my mind will be I do not know where. Then how will it be possible for me to remember your lotus feet at that time? So better that I die now while I'm in full consciousness, or as, you know, good as consciousness as I can of you. So the best thing is to cultivate your life so that at the time of your death you can remember his lotus feet. Of course, remembrance and forgetfulness of the Lord is also coming from him. So we are hopeful that at the time of our passing we will remember him. And that if we cannot remember him, he will remember us. That is our hope. But we shall try to cultivate that. And Krishna is explaining to Arjuna here that what you meditate on, what is your life's meditation, you will get that. At the time of your death, that's where you will go. So those who worship the devatas, they'll go to the devatas. And whatever one is contemplating throughout their life, a good chance they will remember that at the time of their passing. But he says, but my devotees who remember me, definitely they will come to me. Then he says, you know, throughout the material universe, from all the planet, the highest planet of Lord Brahma, down to the lowest planet, everyone is subject to the law of karma. That means birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. No one can escape that. But those who, with single-minded absorption in me, at the time of death, they come to me. Without fail, they come to me, Krishna says. Then he explains how, you know, the different paths of yoga, how the yogis who concentrate their life air within the forehead and they vibrate the syllable Om at the time of their passing. But he says, but are in consciousness of me, they come to me. And then he explains the, you know, how those who pass away during the bright moon and those who pass away during the dark moon, how they, those who pass away on the path of light, they are liberated. And those who pass away during the path of darkness, they are reborn again. Or it's not as simple as that. You just, if you're just lucky enough to die during the bright part of the, that you'll get liberation. It's not quite as easy as that. But it means those who are practicing that. So, it's a short, this chapter 8, short chapter. That, Krishna explaining again there, very clearly, that we should give our concentration to his lotus feet, we should remember him, we should contemplate him, and we will come to him. So today we have Sripad Tyagi Maharaj with us, just returned from his European tour. And now I'd like to ask him if he would like to say something about this chapter that we've just recited. If you remember that. But,
well, I'm sorry to have missed the reading. just general recollection, this verse that Prabhu, that you're referring to, the what we remember at the time of death, so we will attain. This is one of the most commonly discussed points or features of the chapter. And the other point, also there being the definition given of pure devotion, or one of the first times that the Lord refers to thinking of Him in an unalloyed way. This is, if I remember right, this is actually the first time that He mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita. So, a little bit hinting at what comes next in chapter 9 and in the Chatushloki in chapter 10. So, through the teachings of Mahaprabhu, through the commentaries on Gita by the Rupanuga Guru Varga, we know that His real message that He comes to give is Shuddha Bhakti, or unalloyed devotion. But He's gradually building up to that, through that karma, jnana, dhyana. Now here He's just about to, in chapter 7, He just mentions pure devotion. It mentions it, but doesn't go into detail. Then here we find another little bit of a mention, and then the next chapter He starts to give direct description. So for the Rupanuga Vaishnavas who are fully committed to that, you know, then it is like, as they're moving through the Gita, it's like, yes, it's coming, now more, yes, now here it has come in full, you know, where the Lord is explaining the, you know, we can say the pure spiritual truth. Initially, these phases of adjustment are given for persons to facilitate what is called Chitta Shuddhi. Right, we can say this is like one of the major content of the Gita, is how someone's consciousness can gradually be purified, whereby they can have realization of the self, of the Lord, and of the relationship that the Lord has with the self. And this whole mechanism of karma, jnana, dhyana is there to systematically and gradually bring people soundly to that realization, whereby they can engage in the cultivation of devotion. But we know that Mahaprabhu's path is direct, straight to that, right? Chitta darpanam vajanam bhavamahada agni nirvapanam. Once I remember hearing Param Gurudev speaking about that slok, and he said chitta darpanam vajanam means chitta shuddhi karma yoga, and bhavamahada agni nirvapanam means Jnana Yoga. Like, what is attained by these things in the Gita, Harinam Sankirtan, number one, number two, like, automatically is clicking these things off. So, Mahaprabhu's path of Sankirtan is just the elevator method, the direct method, straight. Start this and you'll get the benefits of all these other gradual processes immediately and fully. And by going straight into that cultivation of pure devotion. But in Gita, it's the system is sort of flushed out and described how someone can move through these stages and come to that conclusion of unalloyed devotion and giving of the self to the Lord. So here in that verse, what is it, 18, 14 or 15, I forget the number, and it, the Lord initially describes the persons who do that and the highest destiny that they attain. So for us, this is like the main point to be had and remembered, and then the majority of the rest of it is sort of, you know, contextual explanation for persons coming from other strains of thought to gravitate towards that highest conclusion. So that's generally what I can recall of the chapter and its significance.
Does anyone have any questions about the chapter?
No, the only verse I can remember hearing, the only other verse I can remember hearing Guru Maharaj talk about was that verse at the beginning where he defines, is it defining akara, defining brahma, akara paramam?
Yeah.
And Guru Maharaj would quote that sometimes in his explanation of who is the supreme being, and in connection with those verses at the end of 15. Are you familiar with that I remember a few times I'm saying like, Akara Param Brahma is 8-3, that verse.
Yeah, it is 8-3.
Like, that, because there, Akara is defined as Brahman. And then in 15, later, it says, you know, there is Kara, all beings in the world can be divided into Kara and Akara. Mm-hmm. So then he uses this reference to say that the personality of the Lord is even beyond Brahman, because Akara and Kara are a lower thing, and the Purushottam is beyond even the Akara, which is Brahman. I remember him using that as kind of part of a technical proof.
Can I ask one question, please?
Yes, of course.
What is the age of
Vedas,
by
the way? The Vedas were compiled about 5,000 years, just more than 5,000 years ago.
That was written by the, compiled by Vyasa.
Yeah.
What about before that?
They're always existing. The Vedas are always existing, but with the advent of Kali Yuga, Vyasadeva understood that if they're not written down, they'll be lost, because people's intelligence isn't... Before, people would hear something once and remember it. Now they call that identic memory, right? And very few people have that. It's like you're considered a savant if you have that or something. But previously that was normal. You just hear something once and you remember it for all time. But in Kali Yuga, you can't remember what you were doing yesterday. Unfortunately. So everything has to be written down.
Do you mean that Vedas existed for all the Yugas?
Yeah.
All the Yugas?
Yes. You can say it's the Vedic knowledge is part of the creation. When the world comes into creation, you know, it's like you can say in a crude form, you can say when they made this iPad, they made a manual to explain how it works and how it runs and so on. And it's like that when the world was made, the Vedas came into being at the same time to explain like how we're supposed to operate everything. This knowledge was passed down. It's been from the beginning of time, it's been existing. But
when you say all the time that 5,000 years, people have the idea that Veda is only from that age, not before that.
Yeah. Some people think the Veda is maybe only 3,000 years old. Also, there's some debate about who the author was. Some people say it was somebody called Vopadev, and there are various other ideas about that. And there's various ideas about the age of the earth and so many things, but it's not so important really. Actually, the message, what is there to be learned from the Vedic knowledge, that's the all important thing. And Veda means know, to know. So it's like an imperative, know, here it is. So we should also mention today, I think most of you already know, but our beloved godbrother Bhakti Prasanna Aranya Maharaj, he passed away today in Navadvip. He was Guru Maharaj's first disciple. And with Guru Maharaj from the beginning, and they're always there. When I joined the Mott, then he was called Krishna Sharan Prabhu. And even then he was old. And always very, you can say, unique person. Very unique person. When I first came, I didn't even know that he could speak English. Had no idea at all, because he wouldn't speak in English. But then Guru Maharaj told me, learn Vaishnav Sadachar from him. And I said, oh,
does he speak English? And Guru Maharaj said, yes, he speaks very good English. then Guru Maharaj told him to teach us something. You know? And he taught us many things. But we weren't very good students. And he would always chastise us. He was very, very strict and seemingly intolerant. and often he would chastise us. If we did something wrong, he would say, therefore, malecha. and then he would like look away, disappointed. But he was also very funny. Very funny, and although, you know, when he would chastise us like that, we were sometimes a little upset. But more we wanted to, like, gain his approval, so that he wouldn't... And in fact, some of the devotees were so upset with him saying that Guru Maharaj had to say, you are not to say that to them, because I have accepted them. And you cannot say they are malecha, because I have accepted them as my disciples. Then they are Vaishnava. But anyhow... And he was like the quartermaster as well when we were first there. So anything you needed, you had to go and see him, you know. You need a mosquito net, you need like bedding or something like this. And one night I went there and it was a very cold night. And I went quite late and I asked him, Prabhu, can I have a blanket? And he said, no speaking after sunset. and then he like closed his door without giving me the blanket. So that night I just like put a couple of dhotis over me and I shivered the night out. And the next morning, after the Mongol Aarti, came up to me with a blanket, you know, with like this puppy dog kind of expression. Sorry, he didn't say sorry, but you know, that was like, I got the feeling he felt a bit bad because he, you know. But every year Guru Maharaj was invited to. He had one god sister. She lived in Manipur, you know, that area of Navadvip. And she had a house there. And every year on the appearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, she would send invitation to Guru Maharaj. And for many years, Guru Maharaj would go there. But maybe the last 10 years or so of his manifest lila, he didn't leave the mot. Guru Maharaj didn't go out of the mot. So, but he would send a delegation to the for the program. And this year, he sent Aranya Maharaj and myself, and one devotee from Australia, Raja Balaba. Maybe you know him. So me and him, we were the two sides, you know, the two Westerners. And Aranya Maharaj was there, and Harichand Prabhu, and Madhu Mongol, and a few other devotees. And we went, and this was my first time he made me speak, like public speaking. It was the first time. And we all had to say something, speak like 10 minutes about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. I don't remember what I said, but I remember what Raja Balaba said. He said, my Guru Maharaj, because he's a disciple of Prabhupada, he said, my Guru Maharaj said, he's a Vaikuntha man, so what can I say about him? And that was like the end of his talk. You know? He's a Vaikuntha man. I don't know anything about Vaikuntha, so that's as much as I can say. And I thought, yeah, that's a good one. But I remember I spoke, and I think I did okay. And then afterwards we had really superb prasadam. But their custom in that family was that nobody is given the sweet until all of the savory is finished. Till every person has finished the savory, they won't give sweet to anybody. So this was their custom. And I was sitting next to Aranya Maharaj and they're giving khichdi. And I said to Maharaj, I really like khichdi. And he said, ah. And then he called the man who was serving. He said, give him more. And like gave me this like huge mountain of khichdi. And then they came with a ladle with hot ghee, and they put that on top, like sizzling ghee on top. And it was so much, you know. I was a young boy and I could eat a lot, but that was like daunting even for me. And then, and I'm sitting, and he said, and he, then he leaned over to me and he said, "If you don't eat all of it, I'm going to beat you with my stick." So I ate, and everyone had to wait for me to finish before they could give like the paramana and the rasagula and all that. And I'm sitting eating. But I finished everything. Then they gave, you know, Misty, and then afterwards they had rickshaws to take us back to the mot. Bharanyamar said that he wanted to walk and said, you walk with me. And the other devotees went, not all of them, but most of the devotees went on rickshaws, but Bharanyamar, myself, Hari Champaru and Bhajanarayanpur, we walked back. And then the whole way back. And I remember we got back to the mot, it was about 11:30 in at night when we got back. Maybe 1985, something like that. And I remember just feeling so happy to be in the company of these devotees. And I remember when I lay down to sleep that night thinking, I don't think I could be more happy in my life than I am now. Really, you know, it was really wonderful. And I really felt blessed to have his association. And yeah, everybody loved him. And Gurudev loved him very much, and very strong and faithful to Guru Maharaj. Even till his last years, he's there at the front of the Sankirtan party, you know, marching. Then he couldn't walk so much, so he'd be on the rickshaw, him and Giri Maharaj on the rickshaw. But still, he has to go. He must go for that.
I find it really quiet. Because they never talk much. I never heard him talking.
Yeah.
But very merciful, very... One time he came to see Gurudev.
Yeah.
At that time Gurudev Yodamaj was sick. So he was downstairs and nobody was allowed. So I said, "Oh, Baba, I saw him."
Yeah.
I gave him Dhanvat. He said, "Oh, I want to see Gurudev Yodamaj." So I said, "Okay, I can take you." And I hold him, went upstairs, and Jamuna Devi came, and I said, "Aranya Maharaj wants to see him." And she said, "Who am I to stop him? He can go and see Gurudev." So we took him to Gurudev, and they were chatting. And, but he put his hand on my head, and I felt so proud that, "Oh God, I got the mercy of him." Couple of times it happened. I feel so happy that once in a lifetime, you know, some Vaishnava. One time Gurudev also put it in his hand on my head.
Oh, yeah. And one time I remember I was, I had a battery operated electric shaver, and I'm shaving my face in the morning, and he came past my room and said, like, "What are you doing?" And then he said, "Do me," had to shave his beard. Oh yeah, he was a wonderful Vaishnava. And I also, he used to go for preaching by himself, like for days he would go. And he would never pay the ticket on the train, ever. He would always go on the train and no one would ever stop him. And if anyone would question him, he'd say, "I'm sadhu." And they would never ask for him to pay any fare on the train. Even he went from Calcutta to Delhi to go to Vrindavan the whole way, and he wouldn't pay the fare. And no one ever, you know, like, got the police or anything. But he just like, "No, I'm not paying." And he would travel all over like that. And really, he was a sadhu. Guru Maharaj had great love for him, Gurudev had great love for him, and he also for them and all the devotees. You must remember something, Maharaj, when you were...
Yeah, somewhat, I mean... Obviously, I only saw him in his final years. But you can hear him on the recordings from the 80s, leading the kirtans.
Yeah.
Doing things very nicely, very properly, straight, clean, you know. And what a wonderful example he was for everyone who came to Guru Maharaj and saw, like, long time, like 50-year follower, like, doing everything. Like, what I always liked about him was, and also, like, Damodar Maharaj was like, the simplicity of their life. It was like, this is the Mott, this is Guru Maharaj, this is Harinam, like, there's just nothing else in the world. Then, like, it's just like, that was all there was, you know?
Yeah.
The idea of going elsewhere, doing anything, what's happening, like, nothing! You know, it's just like, this is the temple, this is Guru Maharaj, this is the kirtan, this is the program, and that's it, you know? And, you know, he lived so long, but just, he lived that simple family life with his guru, in his guru, you know, it's like, it's so beautiful, you know. Also, I can say I genuinely smile and laugh today, because definitely, on almost a daily basis, for the last 10 years, he's been saying to somebody, like, today I'm going to leave my body. or like when he would give the jai at the end of the kirtan, he'd be like, jai Gurudev, all the jais, and then he'd be like, Aranya Maharajar Tirubhav Divas Kiri, like, jai to his Tirubhav Divas. Like, I mean, seriously, for the last 10 years, I mean, remember coming up to him, and he's like, today, can I leave it? Like, today, am I going to get out of it? Like, his body, you know, like I'm so ready. I'm so ready. Is it going to be today? Like all the time he would talk about, I mean, almost to the point of almost being morbid. Like, he would, like, talk about his own death so much. So, I genuinely believe that his soul is, like, dancing right now. His soul is so happy to be free. He talked about this day for so long. He had no attachment to his, you know, physical thing. So wherever he is, it's like, Maharaj, here we are. Today we're giving the jai you've been wanting to give for so long. I mean, you know, he was very detached, you know, like, of all of that. So I think we've been hearing about this day from him for so long. Now it finally came. So jai to that. But yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't have much personal interaction with him other than times when he would like, there was a period where he would like to lead the parikrama around the temples, you know, and then he would always want somebody to come and hold his arm. I mean, if you remember that era, you know, but I remember sometimes he would forcibly, like, but he would walk really slow. And then some of the rest of the devotees would sometimes, like, not want to wait for the speed that he would take, but he would, like, grab someone and, like kind of lead by force. There were many times, like, taking my arm, like, by force, like, grabbing me, you know? And then going all around the temple, and then the whole kirtan and Tulasi, he's still, like, squeezing your hand, and then he gives the jai, and then after all of that, he still won't let you go, and he takes you over to the temple, and then you have to, like, get the little fruits that they hand out, you know, and then he has his fruits, and you have yours, and then you have to walk him all the way up to his room, and then, I remember a few times, it'd be like 45 minutes, maybe, the whole experience, you know, and then finally you'd get to his room, and he'd sit down, and he'd be like, okay, now you can take your prasad, you know. Like, and a few times he would have some stash of, like, other prasadam and be like, okay, you're a good boy. Like, you held my arm for so long. Here you go. And give you more, some kind of sweets or something like that. He had, like, a little kind of sweet and funny nature to him that he liked to show. But at the same time also, he was extremely strict and renounced. I mean, he, you know, he spent a lot of time with Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, and he would follow a codicil like that, like, hardcore. I mean, Gurudev talked about that, like, hardcore, no water fasting, every codicil, starting from some point in the evening, the day before, and, like, all the time, like, what's the Panjika time, what's the Paran time, like, I can remember so many times him coming into the class and interrupting the class and saying, what's the Paran time? Or, you know, have you checked the Panjika? Is there anything on the Panjika today? Like, always, like, very wanting to see all the details, like, followed to the exact degree. And I remember one time Gurudev saying that there was some other devotee, I don't remember who it was, who also lived to be really old. And someone asked, Gurudev was talking with them, and Gurudev said, you know why they lived so long? And he said, because they didn't eat too much. They ate, like, just a minimum. And then Gurudev, if I remember it, he also mentioned something about Aranya Maharaj in that connection. Like, he was very regulated about his eating, he fasted so much on Ekadasi, and he mentioned that about Puri Maharaj, because Puri Maharaj lived to be 101 or something like that. And then, you know, Aranya Maharaj, I don't know what he is now, like 93 or something like that, you know, and like, so that quality, that the degree of his, like, regulation that Rod showed, his age proves that he was quite serious in that regard. So, you know, just to see that aspect and appreciate the simplicity and strictness and humor at the same time and staunch, you know, participation in all the features of Vaishnava life and temple life, and it's wonderful, you know, and even in his late days, you know, just by sitting there in the temple, so many people would come, and just to see this really old Vaishnava sitting, you could feel, like, they all felt something, like, wow, this guy's been here for how long? For 60 years? Like, people just love to think of some staunch old devotee, you know, for so long living there and following the things. So, you know, it's a beautiful life, and he's very highly blessed, and we're hopeful that he'll go on in a glorious way on in the service of Gurudev.
He told me how to make a Brahman tree, and he used to fix my bliss for me. I didn't know how to fix my bead before. So I went to him, I said, can you fix my bead? He said, okay, you go and I'll fix. I was thinking he was going to have to rethread it or do something like that. I go back to him, he said, well, it's not fixed yet. Come tomorrow. I go the next day and he says, your bead is ready. And I look, he's already did it, just take some thread and join it up, you know. He says, okay. And also when he put on the sacred thread, I said to him, you know, how do we do it? You know, in his school, do it in this way. He says, no, you just drop one down and you take it off. I say, you drop it to your feet and you put the other one on. And that's it, you know, it's an enchantment. He said, but he says, when you are putting this off, you don't talk. I don't know why, I didn't ask him. It wasn't too much question, but it was going on. I was pretending, I think, that he didn't speak good English. So I was really surprised when I heard him speaking such good English. Mm-hmm. All the time he was pretending as if he couldn't speak English. I think he just wanted to stay away from us.
Yeah.
And then there was this cat, you know, we used to love him. Wherever he went, that cat would go, you know. And so one day we were sitting there taking prasadam, and he took the cat, he says, the cat came and sat beside him, yeah. He said, you see this cat? And he took the cat and threw the cat away. You know, four, you know? And the cat came right back and sat beside him. And he took the cat, threw him away again. The cat's still coming back, you know? Threw him further away. The cat's still coming back beside him. Took the cat. First he gave him a little smack, first gave him a smack, and he sent him away. The cat came back. So the cat bend him up a little bit, the cat went, wow! He said, and he threw him off. The cat came right back and sat down. And he said, you see, the human being take big offense. Cat, no offense. The cat take no offense. Come right back and sit with him. That was funny. It's very sweet.
With his dogs and petting the dogs with his stick.
It was very sweet. It was nice and parikrama. Sometimes he was running, you know, you see this old man sometimes can't walk, you know. And suddenly you see everyone's trying to catch up, and he's at the front running, because he's chanting, and he's running, because the sun is hot, and they are gravel, you know, very prickly pieces of gravel. and he's running and running and running on this gravel and something for this sand because it's so hot, you know. And everyone is running after him trying to catch this old man. Just so we're catching up. That is surprising, do you know?
One day after the parikram, and he said, and he called me over, and he gave me a pair of tweezers and I had to pull all the stones out of his feet. You know, because in the later days he used to wear sandals, but he would go everywhere barefoot, especially on the parikram.
Yeah,
and then they get like this kind of crust on the bottom of the foot, and the big hole, like the stones go inside. Sitting there one day, like pulling out these stones from inside his feet.
There's acacia thorns as well, then, sometimes grazing your feet. That's a good thing for talking to him. Probably don't mean anything to him. Or it's thick, clear. Or so, foot.
But it's funny, I see everyone saying, oh, so sad, so sad. But actually, it's not sad.
Yeah.
It's sad because we won't see him again. But we can be sure that he's in a joyful place with Guru Maharaj, then why we should be sad?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing, actually. Jai.
Jai.
Jai Bhakti Prasanna Aranya Maharaj Ki Jai.
Jai.
Daini Bhula Singh. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna.
Hariharaya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Hariharaya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.